Force field is at 25% strength.
Booster mission is go.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Delphi Podcast. I'm Tom Shaughnessy, and I help lead Delphi Ventures, as well as host some of the most in-the-weeds and thought-provoking guests across crypto, spanning Layer 1s to DeFi, NFTs, and beyond. The goal is to have fun, but also to dive deep and offer foundational episodes on projects and founders. Also, check out our research on Delphi Digital or miss out on the most compelling research there is. It's up to you. As a reminder, nothing said on this podcast is a solicitation to buy or sell any security or token or to make any financial decisions. Delphi Ventures may hold tokens mentioned, so check out our transparency page in the show notes for more info. With that, let's dive in. See you guys on the other side.
Auto sequence start in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Before we jump in, we want to thank the Cosmos community for their sponsorship in making this episode possible. There are several projects building inter-blockchain communication protocols, but there's one that's currently built. Cosmos.network is on a mission to link every blockchain. Well-known projects like Terra, Band, Kava, and Secret use Cosmos and the Cosmos Hub to connect to every other chain in their network. The Cosmos Hub is completed and launched, and you could visit cosmos.network today to check it out. The Cosmos Hub brings us that much closer to Web 3.0, and we thank the Cosmos community for sponsoring the Delphi Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Delphi Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Shaughnessy. I help run Delphi Ventures, and I'm one of the hosts of this podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to have back on Tasha of Alpha Finance. Tasha's been on a couple times. We've covered several topics of the Alpha ecosystem. Today, we're going to be covering Alpha's new launchpad. Tasha, how's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for having me here. You know, the third time. Third time's the charm.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome to have you on. You know, disclosure, we're investors in Alpha, so we're super excited and know the story quite well. But how's everything going on your end building Alpha? It's been quite a journey.
Yeah, definitely. We're working on the next Alpha product, which, you know, we're going to share a bit more to the communities pretty soon. And then we recently just launched Alpha Launchpad, which is the first DeFi incubator program. And pretty much, you know, we're getting a lot of traction and seeing a lot of growth from it. So we're scaling it to be a bigger launchpad program. So yeah, just wanted to take this time to explain a bit more on what it is, what's the motivation behind it, and how it really brings value accrual back to Alpha.
That's awesome, Tasha. And, you know, for those who haven't listened to the other episodes, and we'll link to them, can you just give the quick 30-second intro on what Alpha Finance is at a higher level?
Sure. So Alpha Finance Lab is a DeFi lab. We build and incubate a number of DeFi products that match with the market landscape. So making sure that we address the unaddressed market demand. And the reason that we structure it this way, because we see that DeFi is going to be here for a long time, right? But we just don't know how it's going to look like because the industry itself is really young at the start and where we are now. And it's going to change quite a lot as we grow bigger, right? So by structuring it this way, that means Alpha Finance Lab can be relevant and be the main ecosystem player at every stage of DeFi.
That's awesome. So the launchpad, I guess, kind of plays into your vision of kind of decentralizing the lab itself, right? Because, I mean, your vision is to create multiple products and services. Through doing that, you need a lab to obviously think through these things, but you're now kind of expanding that beyond just, you know, you, Nipun, and the team to kind of new founders.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And this not only helped decentralize the project itself, but also helped grow the talent pool in DeFi as well, because there are going to be a lot more developers from non-DeFi industries that want to come in and you know, really contribute and start new project, right? And they can also do that from Alpha Launchpad side, because we're going to help train and help advise and mentor quite a lot of things. So it's different from other Launchpad programs in a sense that the other Launchpad programs focus more on launching the token itself. But for Alpha Launchpad, we focus more on really incubating from the start to really growing that project out post-launch. So you can think of it as, you know, a playbook to launch and grow successfully in DeFi.
That's awesome. And I guess when you first started Alpha, I mean, one of your core focuses, and I think what you guys differentiated on, was you offered products that were niche, but that filled a market and that really weren't popular yet. I mean, you were able to do that really well. I mean, with this new program, it kind of seems like you have to make the decision of whether to kind of build internally or now kind of to find a founder to build for you. What's that dynamic like where you decide to build with your own team versus kind of, you know, partnering and mentoring with somebody to launch something within Alpha Lab?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are two types of applications that we get for Alpha Launchpad, right? One is from developers themselves. In this case, they may have some ideas and they are really, really capable, but the idea may not be as crafted or fine-tuned, and the team is still also, you know, a small team, right? So in that case, then we also internally have a few products in mind that that we came up with, right? But due to different tokenomics or due to different how it plays out with the Alpha ecosystem, it may not work if it were to be added in the Alpha ecosystem itself, which I'm going to explain a bit more on what is the rationale for that, right? But then we have, you know, quite a backlog of those products too. So we will plug in those products with the developers that we find and pretty much are the really capable developers, right? But may not have the right tools and ingredients at the start. So we will help provide that ingredients. I would say that's more of a rare case of applications that we get, because majority of the applications that we get and what we look for as well are the early DeFi project teams that have, you know, their idea and have developed to a certain stage, and pretty much wanted to work with us on fine tuning that, looking at different, you know, advices from growth hacking side, from community building side, from launch strategy, from adjusting a little bit on the product side to make sure it fits the product market fit really well, right? And then working with us to grow post launch. So I think a lot of those applications that are the type that we see more often. And in terms of back to the original point of, you know, what kind of products that we differentiate in terms of the ones we, you know, build ourselves or the ones that we plug in with the developers, really capable developers that have applied, right? The key point here will come down to the tokenomics part of it and how that will play in terms of bootstrapping and growing the product. Because once we add more alpha products out, right, we have to see how that alpha product will be related to alpha tokenomics, which is created to stake and earn protocol fees from all the alpha products, right? So if we see that, the new product, you know, will work really well, but it actually needs this unique type of tokenomics to really help bootstrap and grow the product in its own way, and it cannot be used with the alpha tokenomics that we already have, then in that case, you know, it definitely makes a lot more sense to spin out into a different type of project.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really want to get into the token econ and value accrual, but one more quick question. I guess a lot of your time now has to be spent kind of, you know, grilling these founders and interviewing them and making sure they're a fit. But on the other side, you know, you're also looking for founders where they might not have everything because you're bringing a lot of Alpha's, you know, ecosystem to them. Like they gain, you know, the product market fit of the Alpha Mark ecosystem. They gain you, they gain Nipun, they gain the team. But what do you exactly look for in a founder that will basically make you say, hey, we really, really want to work with this person. We want to incubate them, even though they might not have everything, because in essence, you are bringing what they're lacking.
Mm-hmm. Very good question. And a lot of it comes from two sides, right? One is the peer skills as well. So let's say if they're developers, then you know their background in coding, in developing, or if they're coming from non-developer side of things, then we need to see what's the key strength, or what I usually call it is, you know, the secret sauce of that person, right? And that secret sauce is going to be something that, you know, will be the key differentiator of growing that team. So definitely that is the first point. The second point is also their entrepreneurship, and pretty much, you know, their want to become an entrepreneur, right? Because starting out a DeFi project is really tough, especially in a market that may not be as full as before, right? So you've got to go through a lot of challenges, growing your team, growing your community, working with cyclical market, and things may not, you know, be as nice all the time, right? So we really need to find the person who want to be in this position, no matter, you know, how hard it is or how much obstacles they have to be in. So what that translates to is someone who is really passionate in DeFi and blockchain technology, and that will pretty much making sure that they're here for the long term.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's really hard to find. And do you think that these founders understand that you aren't here just to launch a token? Like, do you think that they understand that you're here to help, you know, incubate projects that should be here for 5-10 years that should be category winners?
Yeah, I think that's also something that we definitely need to communicate and constantly communicate, right? Because it's different from other launchpad programs, and the word launchpad itself has been used mostly to launch a token in a sense. So definitely, you know, we need to make sure the whole developer community and early DeFi projects teams know about this offering that we have in the space.
That's awesome. And Tasha, before we go into the nitty-gritty of the token econ side, I was just wondering, like, is there a comparison today in crypto that what you're doing kind of maps to? Because, like, I've been part of, you know, a couple incubators, you know, mentor, you know, we obviously run a fund, but I haven't really seen a way to kind of decentralize, I guess, the launch of applications pinned to another protocol, unless we kind of just start discussing Ethereum itself and all the applications built on top. But I'm not, I think that might be too broad of a comparison.
Yeah. You know, I don't think there's a, you know, direct comparison that I see yet. And I think it doesn't mean that it will continue to be this way, right? But I think a lot of the DeFi projects may also look into starting their own launchpad, similar to us, because I think it makes sense in a way that we know how to start, we know how to grow, and to make sure that others know, and making sure that we all help each other across the whole journey, as DeFi is a long process to grow the whole industry out, right? Then to effectively do that and making sure the incentives are aligned, then is to do via launchpad. So I would not be surprised if there are going to be more programs like this in the future. But I think for us, the fact that we started now and being the first one to start will say a lot of things of, you know, what we see of the industry, what we can provide in terms of product market fit. Hence, we're the first one to start this out, right? So I think it will then come down to, in the future, what I see, right, is going to be more of different launchpad partnering with each other, really helping to grow the whole community out.
Makes sense. And I guess the other thing to kind of talk about is, I guess, just the scale and end state of what you're trying to do with Alpha Launchpad, right? I mean, I guess, like, my original thesis for Ethereum was just, you know, you have the largest petri dish of projects that can launch and develop, and, you know, you won't figure out what comes out of it, but they'll probably be big. And that's kind of happened, I guess. It's not a crazy thesis. I'm sure everyone had the same one. But with Alpha, you're kind of doing a similar thing where you're allowing any project to come to you, but you're also giving them, I guess you're lowering the barriers for them to be successful because you're helping with the technical design, you're helping with the token econ, you're helping with fundraising. But I guess the question for you is, you know, your time is limited and your team's time is limited. Like, how do you scale how you help these teams? And then I guess just thinking like a year out or 2 years out, I guess, how do you decentralize this process so that, you know, anyone within Alpha can help, you know, the next Alpha project that launches on top of you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very good question. And I think how I'm thinking of that, right, is similar to, like, different concepts combined. The first concept is similar to, you know, the traditional incubator program, in which the incubator themselves, they don't know everything for sure. They partner with a lot of different groups. Let's say, you know, this particular group is experienced or like specialized in marketing, right? This particular group is specialized in investors and et cetera. So the core incubator that we see in the traditional world is they don't have to be all in one in the team itself, but they actually partner with different groups to make sure that whatever they give will be the full package to the incubator projects, right? So that is something that we're looking to achieve in the future as well, to make sure that we partner with the right groups on community building side, on marketing side, on you know, security or smart contract side, right? So we have this huge ecosystem of Alpha Launchpad groups that pretty much as an aggregate can provide support accordingly to the incubator projects. So that is the first fold. The second fold is when, you know, these support groups become more decentralized, right? Where community members who have been contributing or developing in various other ecosystems may want to come in and contribute and really help out on the smart contract security side of things. And I think that should be, you know, the path that we go towards to make sure that we can scale this as fast and also in a scalable way.
That's awesome, Tosh. I'd love to kind of get into the token econ side of this, because I think the way that you've designed Launchpad, it helps drive a lot of, I guess, value accrual to the Alpha token itself. I'd love to kind of dive in there.
Yeah. So typically now when Alpha holders stake their Alpha tokens on tokenomics.alphafinance.io, they are getting protocol fees that we collect from Alpha products. So that means, you know, the more fees we collected, the more usages we have, the more products we build, the more fee accrual will go to Alpha stakers. So that will still be the same with Alpha Launchpad. But what's going to be additional to Alpha stakers is that they will also get the incubated projects tokens, only a portion of it, though. They will get a portion of the incubated projects token by just staking Alpha. So that means that, you know, you have your Alpha stake, you're getting the same protocol fees or even more from more products that we build. And you're also getting a new set of tokens, which are from the incubator projects from Alpha Launchpad.
That's awesome. And I guess it's not live yet, right? Do you think the market will kind of pick up on that? I guess the concern is like where the value flows between the launch projects are in Alpha. Like, I guess determining that split has got to be kind of surgical. I guess, how do you think through splitting that value flow for like the projects launched on top versus the value flow to Alpha? Because it seems more like an art than a science, and you kind of have to be subjective on, I guess, the value both sides bring, right?
Yeah. So this is also depending on how much support we give them, and which in turn relates to how early or late stage the teams come to us. So if the teams, you know, are late stage and they have figured a lot of things out already, and we're giving them the final push to really launch successfully and then grow, you know, tremendously afterwards, then what the Alpha stakers get are going to be less than the portion of the tokens that, you know, from the projects that we help a lot, right? From the technical side, from the product side. But for the first project, which is actually coming up pretty soon, we're looking to have about 5 to 10% of their project token allocated to Alpha stakers.
That's incredible. And Tasha, I guess just, I mean, every time I talk to you, you have a presentation ready to go. You're extremely well organized. And I mean, building this out, I'm wondering like what the process is like when a project, you know, joins or is approved by you guys and comes on. Like, is there a lot of, I guess, reusable code or templates they can use or go-to-market strategies? I guess, how much of this have you, I guess, automated or pre-set up for the projects that want to launch on top of Alpha? Or sorry, not on top, but, you know, within the Alpha universe?
The automated part comes in the evaluation process more so than the support we give them. Although there are some types of support that can be applicable to various projects, for instance, you know, community building tactics or growth marketing tactics, right? But the key support that we really bring, you know, comes in a number of forms, right? And not just limited to community building or growth hacking, which can be applicable to a lot of projects. But let's say, you know, the product market fit itself. We read the product, read the white paper, talk to the founder, and we can, you know, give them advice already on how they should adjust the product to make sure that, you know, it tailors more to what the DeFi users want and need at the moment. So I think that is something that is less automatable, but will really be the key sauce for them to launch successfully. So that's on the support part, right? But the automation part itself comes from the evaluation processes, which we have, you know, internal templates, we have internal processes to ensure that it doesn't, you know, take too much time to filter the projects out.
That's awesome. Yeah. Having that process down will save a lot of time and it'll help them get to market faster. And Just to go back to the token econ design again, just to make sure I understand it. Basically, what you're going to do is when there is a new project, you're going to distribute their tokens to the alpha stakers who stake. I guess, how do you figure out like that, I guess, the percent of tokens to these alpha stakers? Mm-hmm. Like, is it time or weight based? Or, and I guess the second question for you is, are you still running with, I guess, the traditional launchpad aspect where people will, you know, allocate funds directly for tokens?
Mm-hmm. So the first question, we take into account amount they stake and the time as well. So the longer you stake, the more allocation you will get. So we make sure that, you know, the really long-term committed alpha holders and alpha stakers, right, are the most rewarded. So that's the first question. The second question, actually, it won't be, you know, a sale. It will be more of an airdrop sense. And the reason we want to do this is to avoid the complications on the regulatory side of things. So what that means is by staking alpha, you will get protocol fees from alpha products, and you're going to get these new sets of tokens.
That's awesome. And the value flow, like let's say a project launches within the alpha universe when you incubate, and let's say it's wildly successful. The use case doesn't really matter for this example, but let's say that it's driving, you know, a lot of value to alpha stakers. How exactly do the alpha stakers, I guess, accrue that value? Obviously, alpha has staking, but I guess, are there any lockups implied there? Is it distributed in their native token or is it distributed in alpha's native token? And I guess, you know, how does the weighting work for alpha stakers? I'm assuming that's also, you know, I believe it's also a similar model where it's time and stake weighted.
Yeah. So we will actually adjust the unbonding time from 7 days to 30 days, which we're going to announce quite soon as the first incubator project is coming out. So once we adjust the unbonding time to 1 month, 30 days, right? Then that means the minimum amount of time anyone can stake is 1 month. So in addition to that unbonding time, we don't have any minimum requirement of how many alpha you have to stake at how many months, right? But the longer you stake, of course, the longer or the more allocation you would get of the incubator project's tokens. Let's say that you want to stake only 1 month, only through the unbonding period, and then you're done, right? You will still get a portion of the incubator project's tokens, but just not a lot than comparing to if you were to stake 3 months or 6 months, right? So that's on the alpha stakers side. On the incubator project's token side, there will also be lockup and vesting period. For each project, the length of time will vary depending on the agreement that we have with them. But you know how we're thinking of for the first project, right, is more on 3 months lockup and then 3 month listing. So that means if for an alpha staker to maximize their yields is to stake for 6 months. Although they can withdraw if they want to, but they will not get as much as they were to stake 6 months.
That's awesome. And I guess how are you thinking about like the dichotomy between the project tokens and the alpha token here? Like it seems to me like alpha's kind of like an index bet on the success of all the projects. And then if somebody wants to go, you know, more risk on and, you know, they have a thesis for a specific project launched, they could kind of just go along that token. I guess there's just the difference between the two there on the risk spectrum.
On the risk spectrum, I think this will then relate to the tokenomics and the product of that particular project. So yeah, I think it really depends. So cannot say and speak for all the projects, right? But in terms of the rewards itself, it will be rewarded in that particular token. So we don't plan on, you know, selling the other incubator projects tokens into our own token to distribute to alpha stakers.
Got it. Sorry, my phone just went off. It's podcasting 101. It's not to have your phone on. Apologies there.
No worries.
It went through my laptop. But no, that makes a lot of sense, Sasha. And I guess one of my more, you know, like abstract questions for you is, I guess just the enforceability of the value flows long-term, right? Like, you know, if Alpha successfully launches a project within the Alpha universe and you have a value flow to Alpha stakers, it's incredible. But, you know, as we know with any successful project, you know, the original founders or
you know, the token holders are going to want the value flows all to them. Like, do you think there may be any issues down the line with just enforcing those value flows? Or I guess, you know, a different way, I guess, how do you make sure that those value flows are to Alpha Stakers for, you know, 1, 5, 10 years?
Yeah, I think that this comes with how we will decentralize Alpha as well. And this is also the reason why it's taking us a bit of time, because we really want to think through a good structure. And once we have a good structure and process, right, it will be an effective DAO. And I think the worst thing that I don't want to see happen, right, is we launch a DAO and it becomes, you know, a centralized version of a DAO, which kind of beats the purpose. So making sure that we have the right people at the right place, and making sure they have the incentives aligned will help make sure that the whole Alpha Finance Lab will not just tie to me or Nipun, right, but still tie to the whole Alpha community, which are really aligned on the incentives to make sure that we're growing Alpha Launchpad, we're growing Alpha products to the right direction.
No, that's fair. And I mean, I guess Alpha's value add to these projects will change as time goes on, right? Like, I mean, at the start, you guys might be offering, say, token econ design and, you know, some growth consulting, some technical consulting. But down the line, I feel like there's ways for you guys to offer value in different ways, right? Like, you know, what if you guys brought on your own audit team and started doing continuous audits for the projects incubated within Alpha? I feel like there's different ways you can kind of grow to kind of make sure that the value Alpha brings to the projects is not just at the beginning.
Yeah. That's a good point. I think, you know, it changes with the landscape and the demand that we see, right? And this is only the beginning and the start. And of course, if there are different opportunities that we come and see that, you know, there is a possibility of us adding an audit team or, you know, adding more types of support to the incubated projects, then that will also be something we do. So it won't be limited to what we offer now for sure.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And I guess the other side of this, the projects coming to you to build within the Alpha universe, you said most of them are probably more developer focused. Are there any, you know, more, I guess I'd, you know, categorize this really quickly as just like extroverted non-developer types coming to you, that, because I feel like there's a lot of people with a lot of good ideas that just don't have that developer coding experience. Whereas, you know, those that have the developer coding experience generally are able to kind of just launch something themselves.
Yeah, I would say we're not, you know, limited to developers who apply, definitely. And we're definitely open to non-developers to apply. And again, it comes back to the two main criteria that we look in a team, right? One is what's the secret sauce in that person that make, you know, them really unique and will make sure that they will be able to run this project really well, right? Doesn't have to know to code. I don't think that's definitely a requirement. The second thing is definitely their passion in the space, because that will determine their long-term commitment too. So we're open, but so far the applications that we see, I think, are more developers focused. I think just the nature of the whole talent pool in the landscape right now.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And so Tasha, what should people look out for? Are there any, I guess, key dates on the horizon for the launch pad or anything that we should kind of keep tabs on?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, the first incubator project is coming up really soon. I don't want to name drop any date yet, because things can change all the time, right? But it's pretty exciting and it's coming up in a pretty near term horizon.
That's awesome. And Tasha, before we close out, I love this focused episode, but can you just give us an update on Alpha, you know, more broadly, I guess, just on traction, products, total value locked users, anything you could share just as a recap overall?
Yeah, sure. So Alpha product now, Alpha Homework itself, there are three main products: Alpha Homework V1 on BSC and then V2 on Ethereum. In total, there are about 1 billion total value locked at the moment. And the product itself is a leveraged yield farming product. So it's a you know, we created the leveraged yield farming category and we became the first leveraged yield farming product that offer, you know, one of the highest APY and lending rates for lenders, and also offer a way for yield farmers to leverage on their positions. And then another quick recap on the staking side, there are about 76 million of Alpha being staked right now. So that's about 27% of the circling supply.
That's awesome. And yeah, I wanted to ask on kind of like Uniswap V3 and versus leverage yield farming, but frankly, we might have to save that for a whole nother episode.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. But Tasha, thanks so much for covering off a Launchpad. Always love having you on. We're thrilled to be investors, you know, obvious disclosure there for everyone listening as always, but regardless, super excited for what's to come out of the Launchpad and really excited to see the first project you guys launch.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Hey everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you enjoyed it, please support the show by hitting subscribe on iTunes, writing a review, or sharing this episode on Twitter and LinkedIn. And stay tuned for our next episode out soon.